You dial in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad with the Ralph Winterroad Show of the far north of Alaska, cruise seeker of the far north. And we're going to have a guest on here. Should be calling in a minute, Steve. And we're going to talk about the IRS. I've got in the Title 18 book, of which there are only four left in the world. Which is extremely enlightening and interesting. I'll be copying that. I've got the Title 28 out of 1948. This is the Title 18. And it's just absolutely astounding what these guys have done. I mean, I don't want to call them guys. Technically, what they've done is are acts of treason. And the definition that I'm using for treason is what the Supreme Court said. With two or more people, when you put the laws of the United States forward, and two or more people collude and proceed forward with the intent against to overthrow the laws of the United States, that's waging war on the laws of the United States, and that's called treason. And it's amazing. In 1948, we've got law professors, we've got senators, representatives, high-up judges, attorneys, big-time, bar associations is in there really big time. It's just absolutely astounding. And what's even more amazing that they've gotten away with it for all these years. But we're about to change that. We're going to get around, and I'm going to put this out. I put out an email. I haven't done the extensive email post I'm going to do, but these United States District Courts are a territorial court. They look like a territorial court. No territorial court can exist within the several states. They can only exist outside of any of the several states, but they are made to look like a territorial court, and then they clothe them to make them look like an Article III court. And that's an impossibility. Article 4 court is under Article 4 of the Constitution of the United States. And those courts in a territory can never receive the judicial power of the United States. It's an impossibility. They cannot do that. And it's just amazing that they've got this far. Like I say, I don't know how they've gotten away with this. Of course, I've been trying to figure this out, like a lot of people, for a lot of years, so that I could conclusively prove it. And now with these, a lot of this was actually in the annotations, in the, like Westlaw or Cornell or that, but this other book that I've got is just absolutely astounding because it has the original all put together with all the revisor notes. It's got the comments of the different people, and it's got the tables in the back that are really hard to find, is the cross-reference tables. And, Steve, are you on the line? Hello, Steve.
Hello. Yeah.
Are you there, Steve?
I'm talking, but nobody's hearing me.
Oh, there. Now I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're there. Okay, well, this is Steve, and would you identify yourself as you choose, and then maybe kind of give us a brief rundown of what you've been doing with the Internal Revenue Service.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is Ralph Kremer, Winter Road, back with the Ralph Winter Road Show there. Got a couple of wires crossed here. We're back, and I have a guest today is Steve. And, Steve, would you introduce yourself and then give us a little background on what you choose to make public and what you've been doing with the Internal Revenue?
Hi, Ralph. Yeah, I've just been trying to go along the road here and see what's going on and tried all the different aspects of satisfying my administrative remedies. Okay, wasn't that interesting? I went down that rose path, and I went to a due process hearing that was in name only. Got in there and asked a few questions and basically got dictated information to me that I was, how was I going to arrange payment and various other forms of all satisfying the debt that was made on with this proposed assessment or purported assessment. They believe that they had an assessment under this Form 4340 that they slapped in front of me. And I asked a number of questions relating to that and the validity and what proof did they have. And she just tapped her little file on top of her desk and said, it's all right here. Everything I need is right here. And I'm, okay, well, can I take a look at that magic folder there and see whatever information that they are not willing to give to me, but they say that they're using against me? And nope, that was denied. Wasn't going to happen.
So she denied you the right to see the information that was in the folder.
Exactly. And they wouldn't answer any letters. So that went over like a lead balloon, and we all got basically thanked for being there, and she wasn't going to answer any of the questions. By that time, I was spinning up to a speed of knowing what the difference between implementing regulations were and substantive regulations and administrative.
Let me ask you a question. Did you, in this meeting, did you try to enter any evidence in to that file?
I'm not sure if I did or not. I know I had had a number of conversations with agents beforehand, and they were all under the presumption that I was guilty, and it was a foregone conclusion.
So really what's going on with that, it's a ruse. That's your first level appeal.
Well, if you could call it an appeal, basically it was a payment hearing for me. They just wanted to know when I was going to pay and how much and what kind of schedule, and if I decided to do so, I had to join up and make sure that all those tax forms were put in back in place on a timely basis.
So they're a waste of time.
A waste of time. And
okay.
Got a little more educated as time went by and fired off, a letter to the commissioner and 11 IRS agents that were involved with that due process hearing, all the way from the agent that started the situation to a couple handoffs, his manager, all the guys that got involved with filing liens and levies and all this little procedural effort on their part.
And, just and they all promptly answered, right?
Oh, sure. They answered with a big silence. And yeah. I guess they had a right to. I was asking a pretty tough question. Hey, under 60, or what was it, CFR 601-201, says that I can ask you guys for a determination on whether I'm a taxpayer or not. Please provide the same. And nobody answered. Didn't seem to matter. They weren't going to follow that part of the rules, but they sure expected me to follow all parts of their rules. And even mm-hmm. when a lot of those rules weren't being followed the way the law is written. But then I came to find out that in the administrative world of theirs, they pretty much have the upper hand on everything. And if they don't like it, they've got terms for you that they'll gladly apply. And after a while, I don't know, maybe I should start believing some of those terms, rambling, incoherent. Frivolous is a good one. I've been thinking of changing my last name to Steve Frivolous. And it always seems to come about that when they get pushed up against the wall or given a letter to ask to explain something or to prove the burden of proof that they're implementing on me, they get all offended. And they
so, in other words, under 26 CFR 601.201, the status determination letters, which Dan Metter used extensively before he passed on, you sent those ad nauseum to the Internal Revenue Service, and they are silent, as they say.
Right. That was the commissioner, just because at that time, and still in place today, as far as I understand, there's no district director for my area. And so I asked him, the top dog, and then I sent to there were 11 IRS agents on that list. And they were the due process hearing lady, her supervisor, the guy above him, and none of them. All of them had their names on different pieces of paper that they were sending me saying, you've been a bad boy, and you've got to pay this debt that we see due. Hello, where's the legal duty, folks? Does it exist? Could you please show it to me? Because according to this information, there is none.
Did they have any regulations?
Oh, they had regulations. They had plenty of regulations. They were all 301, 601 regulations that they were trying to apply against me. Well, pop,
and that,
up comes...
And go ahead.
And through the boil of all that, Chrysler came to the forefront of life. And it's plain and simple. It says specifically, substantive regulations only have force and effect in law. They weren't having none of that. It was like they were even more offended now.
Now, that's standing under the statutory authority of Title V, 552A.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's the statutory authority of Congress that says thou must put out regulations.
Which they're more than happy to do. They got regulations ad nauseum, and if they don't have them, boy, they scramble and get one built real quick. But there's only certain regulations there that go under the public comment period. Those are the ones that are going to affect all those people out there, all those subjects. There's a few citizens out there, but most of them are subjects. And as much as people try to explain the differences between being a subject, i.e., citizen of the United States, versus a citizen with fundamental rights, i.e., a citizen of the United States of America, you're talking to a blank wall. A lot of people just glaze over, don't care, don't understand, don't want to make the effort. Even people that have come in under the immigration laws of the United States and actually have proof of their citizenship with a certificate of naturalization.
The United States of America, and they walk outside the door and sign up and surrender to become the fiction and law called a citizen of the United States.
And everyone is indoctrined to believe that that federal citizenship is their security blanket. Because, man, oh, man, don't you know all the goodies that we provide when you sign up for that? Man, you get a retirement fund right off the bat. Hey, and if you don't want to work, you got to sit back and raise 10 kids. Oh, hey, have a couple more. Then you can go on welfare. So, you know, if you're there's Social Security survivor benefits, there's 5 or 6 of them all lumped up into one giant benefit that says that, hey, you get these, you're entitled once you become that citizen of the United States. But, oh, hey, there's a catch to this, but we won't make it real evident out there in the general public. But the Supreme Court's ruled on it plenty of times, and you've explained that in the past with Babcock and a few of the other cases, that if you're willing to accept the benefit, you've got to suffer the consequences, and they can restrict any and all remedies.
Now, backing up here, this 26 CFR 601.702, that's 601.702, the IRS says in a public record, in the public in the Federal Register, that they are going to have subsidy regulations for Part 1, Part 20, and Part 31. Part 1 being the individual income tax. They also say they're going to have Part 301, which has, Chrysler says, the 301 types are administrative. They have no comment period, so therefore they have no force and effect of law. The 601s have no comment period, but they do put out the procedural rules, and they've agreed to, in this public record, to put out subsidy regulations. Now, when you gave them the substantive or subsidy regulations that Chrysler says has force and effect in this administrative state, Part 1, Part 20, and Part 31, IRS have any comment on those?
It was a total drop-dead silence. And then there's also the fact that under 26 U.S.C. 7805, they must make regulations under Title 26. Well, lo and behold, so many of those substantive regulations that were popping up for assessment, this, that, and everything, were all, the substantive ones were all in Title 27. Now, the only guy that has supervisory authority over that Title 27 is the director of ATF, not the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, but it was like holy water. They couldn't see it. They ran the other way.
Well, let's see what 7805 says. This is Title 26, United States Code. It says right here, the Secretary shall prescribe all needful rules and regulations. Now, the first thing is rules are for the government, regulations is for the subjects. For the enforcement of this title, now this is in Title 26, including all rules and regulations as may be necessary by reason of any alteration of law in relation to the Internal Revenue. I hear some music, and we'll be back in a minute, and then we're going to have some more astounding discoveries as once we get this lay the groundwork with Steve. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Well, this is Ralph Kermit Winterode with the Ralph Winterode Show back, and we have Steve as a guest today, and we're laying the groundwork here, going to get to some interesting things here on federal question and some other issues here probably in the second hour, but laying the groundwork of all the things he's been through to show what these guys do and what they won't do. And so you've been through this. You brought up 7805. You brought up the holding. Now, this is not a dictum. This is the holding, United States versus Cleveland Indians baseball. That it talks about that this under 7805, the commissioner is supposed to put out the regulations. And it says the court does not sit as a committee of revision to perfect the administration of the tax laws. That's a holding based on Correll, C-O-R-R-E-L-L. And they just blew it off, right?
Completely. They didn't... They're in their own little world. They are very comfortable in the administrative executive agency that they sit in, thinking that, hey, we've got all the protection that we can possibly get, not only within our own little realm of influence, but by the courts, too. And
so the bottom line is you've done all the administrative stuff, and it finally become, as I say, the definition of insanity is keep repeating the same thing, expecting a different result. So you weren't getting anywhere there.
Right.
So what did you proceed to do then?
Well, as I continued to get buried by this avalanche of paperwork, I just said, the paperwork proceeded. The process was methodical, and lo and behold, they contacted my employer of a publicly traded company and said, hey, we got this problem over here, and we just want you to start snatching the money away from this guy and giving it to us. So the company didn't have any problems with that. Oh, sure. You guys say jump? How high? Oh, okay. Up to this amount? You got it. And they just started arbitrarily just taking my money. Oh, they gave me plenty of notice about it, but would they respond to any of the legal documentation, matters of law, that the courts have already decided upon to bother to answer to any of that? Nope. They just couldn't be cared less. They were totally unfazed by being held accountable. And they started taking my money from my paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically the last straw. I mean, what else can you do? And I say arbitrarily taking it because for the life of me, I could never understand how that amount would fluctuate from one paycheck to the next. It was never, well, okay, more often than not, it was the same amount, but other times it had a varying amount. And that took, that was a long process. We're talking years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, I've got all this law behind me. I got the code. I've got the regulations. I can prove they're not doing it. I've asked for the determination of my taxpayer status. They've ignored that. Let's get them to answer some questions here. Took them to court. Filed in state superior court. Well, no sooner had it been filed, less than a week, maybe a week and a half, I think it was about 10 days, 8 or 10 days, government steps in, United States, and says, hey, we're moving this. We don't like it here in state court. We're moving it under this nice little code section, code section 1441, I think it was, and 1442, that these are officers of the United States, and therefore we're taking it over here to federal court. And the federal court gets a hold of it, chews on it a little bit, and we have all our little exchange of paperwork, and hey, guess what? Now that they've transferred it over, they don't have jurisdiction. So you go away. Bye-bye. Dismissed. Huh? Well, wait a minute here. Now, I had an action under my true citizenship of being a citizen of the United States of America, looking for a court with the whole judicial power of the United States, or in my case, originally, under the state of Alaska, couldn't seem to find anything that would hold it into the state, and feds just come in, move it on over, and dismiss it. Now, isn't that pretty well organized?
So the bottom line is, so that they can protect themselves, they move it from the state into the federal. And then they say, we don't have jurisdiction, but did they refuse to remand it back?
They refused to remand it back. But interesting enough, we went through this long dissertation on, hey, what is a federal officer? What is a federal employee? What is an officer of the United States? And Babcock and all those other ones came in, Buckley, Vallejo, and all these other cases that there's a definitive line between employees and officers of the United States, and they're mutually exclusive. You cannot be one and the other. And we could prove under the Form 61 that these, even the judges, but that's another matter, but all these agents were signing up to be employees of the federal government. Well, hello, folks. Where's the authority to be taking it over into the federal courts if these guys don't have the authority to be what you say they are? And it just kind of fell on deaf ears. Hey, buddy, we're hiding behind 7421, so you go away now, you hear?
Okay, we'll be back in a minute, and we're going to go through what is an officer of the United States or inferior officer of the United States on the next level, so stay tuned.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity, where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Ralph Kerber Winterroad back, Ralph Winterroad Show, and we have Steve on as a guest. And we were at the point to where he filed in a state court in Alaska, and they removed it under 1441 and 1442, and they were claiming to be officers of the United States. Now, officer of the United States is in the Constitution of the United States in Article 2, Clause 2, Section 2. And the thing that is missed, one of the major things, is this word office. An office, the powers and duties, must be created by Congress or the Constitution or your legislature. And the question becomes, of course, in Title 26, 7804, it says that all of these IRS people are all flunkies. And they're all employees. So the law must create the powers and duties. Then how they get into that office can vary. It can be with the president, by and with the consent of Congress. They can be appointed by a judge in a court, by the department head of an executive, if they're inferior officers. But what was done research in this one that we bumped up against this particular issue is, what is an officer of the United States, or Warren? Importantly, an inferior officer. And are any of the IRS agents inferior officers of the United States?
Not without an office.
They have no office, do they?
No, unless they can show that they actually have an office to sit in. You can't be an officer. You can pretend. It's like the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. He's got a title, but he ain't got no office.
He has no office, no powers and duties. And it says he's an employee because you can... put off, and you got the Form 61s, which says, under their signature, they're mere employees of the government of the United States. Is that not true?
That's what they all say. That's all my document says. It's interesting. A lot of those came just verbatim as they're given, and then other districts end up redacting the guy's signature, everything but his name. It's like, what are these guys afraid of? These are public records. They should be more than happy to show the authority of these folks, and yet they're redacting really silly pieces of information, but they never redacted the fact that they're employees of the federal government.
So, first of all, in the research here, as a matter of law, if the, quote, Court of the United States really had jurisdiction, the only way it can suck a case out is if it has jurisdiction.
Right.
So it gets over there and can exercise judicial power. So it takes the case over there and then says, no, we can't do anything with it and won't remand it.
We can't even talk about it.
So you got absolutely nothing out of the IRS or any of the other people, parties in this case then, right?
Oh, no. All they wanted to do was bring up facts that they were following code sections, and they couldn't bring up any substantive regulations. They brought up a few administrative regulations that I had already proved under Chrysler don't apply to me, and the judges went along. They also brought in 2201, which after a few levels of appeal got to the point that I could prove that 2201 has no force and effect in one of the several states. That brought in the whole concept of why I initiated the action as a citizen of the United States of America. You guys can all have your benefits, and you guys can all have your restrictions under a citizen of the United States, but if you're born here within the United States, you're born as a citizen of the United States of America. If you come in under the naturalization laws, you're a citizen of the United States of America. As soon as you want to go and transfer that over to under a new oath, a new pledge of allegiance, shall we say, there's all those stipulations. So getting back to the fact of the several states is where my domicile says I should be, and they've never rescinded any of those laws or authority. I was taking 2201, backtracking it all the way back, and somewhere in, I think it was 1940 or 48, they just did away with the powers of the several states for 2201, and it went into the federal arena, the administrative state.
Let me back up here now on that. In the research of 2201, this is Title 28, USC 28 or 2201, they specifically have, by statute, said that that the courts, the United States District Court, the courts that we, quote, have today, cannot make a determination if you are or are not a taxpayer. And that power resides over the taxpayer status, actually resides over in the Internal Revenue Service. Now, of course, this issue was in 1792, was the first time this ever made the Supreme Court. And they were attempting to give benefits to the people that had pension funds and other that had fought in the Revolutionary War, which is a good thing. They wanted the Supreme Court of the United States to make a determination who was eligible and who was not eligible. But then when they got through, when the court got through, then it was going to go back to the executive side, and they were acting as a court of errors, and the Department of War could say, no, I'm not going to pay that person. Now, that is a separation of powers problem, because the judicial power is our constitutional rights, and when the court rules with power, which must come from the Constitution, it's not created by statute. The courts cannot be overturned by the executive because we no longer have a separation of powers. The executive is to execute, implement. The judicial power is to make a rule on the law, and if there's a problem with it, then you have to go up on a writ of error. Today we call it appeal. But if there's errors of law or fact, you should go up on a writ of error. And it must stay within the courts. And that's the same problem that 2201 has, is that you have to go back over to the IRS, and today the IRS, if they would choose to, and you could be convicted of a crime, and the IRS could say, no, Ralph is not a taxpayer. And they'd actually overturn the conviction. But, of course, they're not going to do that because it's all these guys are all involved in this these treasonous acts to enslave us. So, anyway, go ahead. What happened then?
Well, let's see. As we're sitting there hashing it out in the district court, they basically just said under 7421 and 2201 to go away. Well, there are a couple exceptions under 7421, and they had to do with, one, you have to have irreparable harm, and the other one, help me out here, Ralph.
The other one is the fact that the government had no chance to win, that you were always going to win. Well,
right.
Obviously, if you were going to go to court, why would you need the judge if you already knew you were going to win?
Right. And why would they transfer something to a jurisdiction that they automatically would win, hands down, no discussion about it? Well,
right.
I had all this stuff that says that they're not following their own rules. And for some reason, that was never addressed, ignored. Just put back on the shelf. It doesn't exist. Hey, well, you know, if you guys are in this federal arena, where is this whole judicial power of the United States that we're supposedly entitled to? And that one.
Now, we're going through some of the problems here, and in the next hour, we're going to get into the real substantive issues of what is going on behind the scenes of why these things were happening to Steve. The real meat of what's going on, and it's like a chess game. You can watch a chess game and get your butt kicked, because if you don't know how the pieces are moving or how they're supposed to move, and you don't know what you're up against, that's what Steve and I were, we spent hours. Steve is one of the few people that I talk to that we can have what I consider an intelligent conversation about this, because not many people can grasp these concepts, and it's tough. Anyway, go on ahead.
Well, so much of this based on the fact that we ran across a couple of cases that said you can't take anybody's property without a court judgment. I mean, the first one that came to light was Grupo Mexicano, and then Fuentes both said that unless those people restricting your access to your money are officers of the United States working under the authority of the United States, they can't take your money unless they have a court order. Well, we pretty much put a lid on the fact that, and by their own admission, I think in one of their briefs, they mentioned that they were all IRS employees over 30 times. So that was a foregone conclusion. They were employees, did not rise to the level of being an officer of the United States. And
so we proved that they were not officers of the United States. They denied the fact that they couldn't make a determination if you're a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. They used 7421, which is based, by the way, that case, that the cases that they sit on 7421 has to do with Social Security, which is a benefit. And any time you accept a benefit, you have no right to any remedy, including a court.
And that case is only for corporations.
So now another interesting concept of this is if you are not a taxpayer, legal duty requires two parties to get into some sort of a dispute. So if the court has no personal jurisdiction because they can't make a determination if you're a taxpayer, then how can they make a determination you have a legal duty to pay?
Well, that's a good question. And the other fact is that if there's supposed to be a district court for the federal government, where's the whole judicial power of the United States arising under the Constitution?
Doesn't exist, and we're going to get into that next hour, exposing what these guys really are, and I'll get your take on it. Go ahead. What happened next?
Well, they slam dunked me. I ended up going back and trying to get a rehearing en banc. I learned a lot about court rules, court procedure, how to get skinned by the justice system without really even trying.
Then well, you went up to the Ninth Circuit then, right?
Yeah, got to the Ninth Circuit. They all said, boo-hoo, go cry somewhere else. We're not interested. We've got all we need, 7421. You can't prove that you're going to prevail against the government. But I was just flabbergasted. It's like, well, hello, folks. We got laws. I'm supposed to follow laws that you guys are making up against me, and yet all these other laws that you agree sit on the books and that you will abide by don't apply to you. It's like, well, how did the agenda all of a sudden shift that the government doesn't have to...
Steve and I were doing a lot of research, and we keep sharpening the scalpel, and nobody is following the stuff that's a public record.
Yeah, it's like they only want to... They got blinders on. They only want to pay attention to where their nose is. And if their nose is pointed in your direction, you're going to step back. They don't care. They've got a team of wild rhinoceroses in their team, and they're just going to go right through you, whether you like it or not. And unfortunately, all the enforcement by the courts, which are supposed to be there to be triers of the facts with the law, they don't exist because they didn't care about... The only facts they were concerned about were their facts. How about the facts of asking for that taxpayer determination? I can't be a taxpayer as every lien notice and just about every notice they've sent me, every levy notice, all has taxpayer so-and-so. Well, I could prove that determination had never been made against me. I had asked for it. I sent it to as many people as I possibly could, certified return receipt. Yeah, I got them all back, and the judge just said, well, we can't make that determination, so evidently it doesn't exist since the IRS, or I guess the presumption was that it already existed, even though the IRS didn't make it.
Let me inject something here. This is one of the things that when you learn to read, as you get educated on reading court cases, or in your documents, as soon as they make the word taxpayer and you don't object, then that is called the standard of review. That's the status with which you're arguing. And if you don't go against that, that's what they do in these court cases. Well, the taxpayer this, taxpayer that. Well, as soon as they say that, then everything else is all in the land of Oz.
Yeah, I'm agreeing to abide by all their rules that they can make up any old time they want or apply or not apply.
And that's one of the things when you're dealing with the IRS with these letters is because if you don't learn how to stay at an arm's length from these social slave numbers that they give people, it's like an insurance policy. You give the policy number, then say, I don't have to pay the premium.
Mm-hmm.
These are all catch-22s. Anyway, go on. So you went to the Ninth Circuit and you lost there, and then did you try an en banc hearing?
Tried an en banc hearing, had some killer stuff on how they must remand if they didn't have jurisdiction or prove that they had jurisdiction of the case. I mean, that one still just amazes me. They've got all this prevailing case law that says that your argument is valid, and they look at you and tell you right to your face it's frivolous.
Now, something I want to stop and inject here. I want to be real cautious when you use the word jurisdiction. That's something we've learned over the experience here. Because jurisdiction must be tied to exercising the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States. Because they want to say just argue jurisdiction, and they're talking a statutory jurisdiction of the administrative state.
Well, and we argued both. Personal jurisdiction and subject matter jurisdiction. And
we argued also no judicial power of the United States.
Right.
And that's really the killer because if they can create courts with jurisdiction to do anything.
Well,
are they exercising the judicial power of the United States, which means it's got to be a constitutional court? No,
right. And that's where we tried We tried to pull some fast ones. I mean, granted, when you're on an all-out war, you're going to do anything you can that, I mean, it has to be legitimate because you're in court. But, I mean, you're going to fight tooth and nail for everything. So they would not tell us if they had the whole judicial power of the United States in their court. They went by the term United States District Court. We filed all our paperwork into the District Court of the United States. It just didn't seem to matter. But we did get the judge to sign an order under the jurisdiction of the District Court of the United States. He stepped outside
his own
bounds.
Okay, hold that thought, Steve. We'll be back in a minute here. We got to go to break. Ralph Winter with Steve, and we'll be back in just a minute. Now, next hour, we're going to reveal some astounding material.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Well, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad, Ralph Winterroad Show, back with Steve. And why don't you tell us what you did then? Did you, after you lost at the Ninth Circuit in Bonk, then what happened?
Well, one interesting thing that I started to understand that as I was going through this process is that there was this unwritten agenda with all these courts. It's just the paperwork scheme, the rules, the court rules, and everything else just didn't always kept seemed to keep you off balance. They always had an answer to all the petitions or pleadings of matters of law. They seemed to be able to finagle a different angle with a procedural rule. Now, that was awful interesting. And that en banc hearing that got denied, they just put it out there. And, hey, let me tell you, when you start having to file 50 copies of these briefs with appendixes, you're talking about some significant money. This is not cheap. And you've got to mail that. When it costs 26 pounds, and it's got to be there before the deadline or on the deadline. You can't mail it on the deadline. It's got to be in the court on the deadline or sooner. It's just they make it very difficult for the average Joe, and it's just interesting. So then you go to the Supreme Court. Okay, by golly, that's got to be a court with the whole judicial power of the United States. Certainly, right? It's in the Constitution. It says that that court's created under Article 3. But then you start reading the rules, and you start understanding what they ask to even get a filing in there. First of all, you just get to put a filing in there, and that's another X amount of copies. I don't remember off the top of my head. But what was really disturbing is they don't take anything of the lower record. You have to retype all the orders of the lower courts without any signatures onto these insanely Reader's Digest-sized pages and submit them to the court. It's like, hello, folks, don't you want to see the actual document? Why do we have to reinvent the wheel here? This has already been produced. All I should be able to... In my mind, I mean, it made perfect sense. All I needed to do was just photocopy this stuff, add it to the filing, and submit it. But no, they want to have these special little booklets, and it's all Reader Digest size, and you got to reinvent all the orders that they had in the lower courts to present to them. Well, lo and behold, you file in your arguments. You can spend months, years, formulating an argument, but you don't have that much time. And so you got to put, you're under the pressure, you're working day and night, you're thinking about it day and night, you're thinking about it in your sleep. It wakes you up in the middle of the night. Okay, yep, that's a good point. I better write that one down. Get this all consolidated, and then come to find out, it's denied. Well, what does the denial at the Supreme Court mean? It doesn't mean that the lower court's ruling is upheld. It just means that four judges on the court couldn't be bothered with it, or it's too hot to handle, and they don't accept it.
So that's where we found out about the writ of certiorari that is all discretionary. It's based on no merit and no jurisdiction.
No matters of law.
No matters of law. It's just, I don't know, what do you think over there, Chief Justice? No, I don't think I like Stevie Boy here, and it's a little dangerous. We'll just deny. We'll be back in a minute. And we'll finish up with what Steve's doing, then we're going to get into some of the real things going on behind the scenes. So stay tuned. Next hour.